Forsake and follow. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, that your word is life. And as we look into your word this morning, we pray it'll infuse an added measure of life into us today, Lord. We pray our hearts may be prepared for what you have for us, Lord. And may we be not hearers only, but doers of your word. And we just thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. The text is from the book of Luke, chapter number 5. Luke 5. And we may have it up there. Thank you. And we start at verse 1. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and we're talking about Jesus here, and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. Verse 10, and so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." In verse 11, so when they had brought their boats to the land, they forsook all and followed him. So our title comes from verse 11 of Luke chapter number 5. And we're just going to use this passage this morning and look at some things that are occurring here and hopefully take a point or two from the word of God. We see in verse 1 that Jesus had a crowd pressing about him to hear the word of God, and he stood by the lake. And then in verse 2, it says he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. So the first thing I want us to see from this passage this morning is that in order for a vessel to be used by Jesus, it has to be empty. Are you with me this morning? The passage tells us that these two boats were sitting down and they were empty. The fishermen had gotten out of them and were gone washing their nets. Too often we as humans want to invite the Lord to do something in us, to do something through us, to do something with us, to do something for us, but he can't come in to these boats, to these vessels, because we got stuff in them that we don't want to empty. We're full of ourselves, we're full of the world, we're full of so many things, and Jesus is looking for empty vessels to use. He's looking for us to get out of the driver's seat so he can take over and control us. But in order for him to do that, we have to give up control. We have to empty ourselves of everything that is about us and yearn and desire those things that are about Him. In order for Him to use these boats, the one that He got in, it was empty. That was the only way He was able to use it for His purpose. He doesn't want to push us out. He doesn't want to force or impose Himself upon us. He wants us to willingly yield up our vessels, yield up our talents, yield up our treasures for Him to be used, or for Him to use, not only to bless us, but to bless others. Notice, He took the boat and He got into one of them in verse 3, and He sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. So He wants us to empty our boats because He wants to come in and take over. Point number 2. Although Jesus knew, because He knows everything, about Simon Peter's problem, He also knew it was not the top priority. He has a situation, these fishermen, they did that as for a profession, had fished all night, had caught nothing, probably discouraged, despondent, back on shore. Even though they caught nothing, they still got to get the nets together, wash them, and prepare to go try again at another time. Jesus shows up, and He knows what they're feeling. He knows what they're going through because He knows everything. But He says, first things first. I have to be about my Father's business. That's what He told His mother, right? I have to be about my Father's business. There's people needy. There's people that are yearning. There's people that are hungry to hear the gospel. There's people that need to be healed. There's people that need to be made whole. There's people that are discouraged that just need a word of encouragement from somebody this morning. So before I attend to your needs, before I meet your material needs, of which I know, I'm going to have you just push out a little bit, and I'm going to teach, I'm going to proclaim, I'm going to declare the word of God. And that's what He did. He knew that that problem, He would take care of it later. But you see, so often we're so impatient. We talk about patience this morning. Thank you, Larry, in our workout. We're so impatient that we want to jump ahead of God. And we're not willing to give Him the opportunity to move as only He can. Amen? So Jesus knew that the problem that Simon Peter had was not the top priority. He did first things first and gave priority to the people and proclaiming the word of God. God's plans should always take priority over our plans. And I know that's hard in the society in which we live, when it's all about me and my convenience and my comfort and my. It should be God, 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 God. His word says, seek Him first. And if we just give Him the place that He deserves, all this other stuff, number one, will begin to diminish in importance. But number two, He said, everything else will follow if we just give Him the place that He deserves. And Jesus is showing us an example in this passage. And He did that a lot throughout His ministry. Because a lot of times, what we think is our biggest problem is not really the biggest problem. Amen? What we think is our biggest challenge is not really the biggest challenge. What he wants us to do is give these things to him and just allow him to fight our battles. Just allow him to move in our situation. Hallelujah. So he did first things first. And then verse 4. Excuse me. Verse 4 tells us, and when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Next point is we have to be obedient to God, even when we do not understand his methods and his instructions. The scripture says his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He's so much higher than we can even imagine. So how dare we try to understand what he's doing when he's operating in the supernatural and our minds can only understand the natural? Amen. These men who fish professionally, you would think they knew what they were doing. They know where to find the fish because they did that for a living. And Jesus just tells him, say, just launch out into the deep and cast your nets. And as Peter is known to do, you know, if he has something to say, he's going to say it. He didn't hold very much back. He said, Master, you know, we fished all night and we like to think we know what we're doing. And we've caught nothing. So how come you tell us now to launch and cast the nets? But even though I don't know what you're saying, even though I don't understand how it's going to happen, but just because you say so, Lord, I'm going to obey. Just because you tell me to take that first step, I'm not going to ask you how you're going to make it happen. I'm not going to ask you all the pieces that you're going to cause to fall into place. I'm not even going to ask you what the destination is. If you say take that first step, because I know who you are, and I know what you've said in your word, and I know what you've done in my presence, I know what you've done in my own life, because you say so, I will obey. You see, all we have to do is to obey. It's okay to ask a question if you don't understand. It's okay to be confused. But it's not okay not to obey God. He doesn't expect us to understand him. Because after all, he created us. Amen? So we have to be obedient even when we do not understand his methods and his instructions. And why do we need to obey? Because he is God. What else do we learn from that couple of verses that I just read? Sometimes the greatest blessings come when we leave the safety of the shadows and launch out into the deep. You see, it's easy to stay where we're nice and cozy and comfortable. Where we can, for those of us that don't swim very well, we don't go too far from the edge of the pool or the lake or wherever we are, because you can always run and grab something. So we stay where it's relatively safe. We stay in our comfort zone. We stay around those that make us feel good. We stay in those situations that don't challenge us to stretch our faith. But what did Jesus tell them? Go out into the deep. Go out into those areas that you're not familiar with. That when something happens, there will be no doubt that is not about you. That is not by your ingenuity. It's not by your creativity. It's not by your professionalism. It's not by how much you've prayed. It's not by your faith. It's just by me and my work. Because I want to do a great work in you. I want to bless you even more than you can contain. But that won't happen if you just want to dip your foot in the edge of the water and just test it and step back. Just stay where it's nice and cozy. Just stay where you feel most comfortable. No. He wants to stretch us. He wants us to take a plunge. Again, because he says so. You see, he will never take us where he can't sustain us. He will never direct us to go somewhere that he can't take us through. He said in his word that when we go through the fire, he's right there with us. When we go through the storm, he's our shelter in the time of storm. Remember, this is the same God that caused the children of Israel to walk on dry land across the Red Sea. He hasn't changed one iota. So how dare we question him when he tells us to launch out into the deep? After all, we're not even swimming. We're in a boat. And he's right there in the boat with us. Hallelujah. He's right there in the boat with us. That's the most comforting part for me. But I don't know the first thing about sailing. I would be totally confused and really dependent on him, which is what he wants us to do. So the greatest blessings come when we leave the safety of the shallows and launch out into the deep. Oh, I know there's some people here this morning that are wanting to launch out into the deep. God's got some things on your heart. God's planting some things within you. But you're still reluctant to leave the safety of the shallows and launch out into the deep. Oh, Holy Spirit, touch that person this morning. And convince them, let them know that you're with them. And you will see them through, that your people may be blessed. Amen. And so what happened when they went out? And when, verse 6, and when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. Verse 7, and when they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. Next lesson is God will sometimes take us right up to the breaking point, even when he's blessing us. Sometimes, not all the time, he wants to be sure we can handle what he has for us. You see, a lot of us focus on the breaking point when God is stretching us through trying times, through temptations, through trials, through hard times. And those times come too. And even when those times come, he's taking us in order to prepare us for advancement to another level. But even in the time of blessing, when he wants to bless us abundantly, Sometimes he wants to make sure that we're able to handle those blessings. He doesn't want to overwhelm us. And he does not want to bless us. Listen carefully. He does not want to bless us that we'll begin to worship the blessings instead of worshiping him. Amen? God does not want anything to take the place that he deserves in our lives. And since he knows us better than we know ourselves, sometimes that's the deal breaker for him. Because he knows that we're just at that point. We're still in the shallows. We haven't launched out into the deep. So we can't handle. You see, if the boats were still in the shallow waters, they would be grounded with the weight of the fish that they were going to catch. That's why they had to be in the deep. So as long as we're still in the shallows, we're limited to what will come into our boats. Amen. And they said they caught so much that the nets themselves were breaking. And then they had to fill the other boat. And then both boats began to sink. Thank God they were in the deep. Both boats began to sink. Blessings are not meant to overwhelm us or to make us sink. They're meant to bless us and cause us to give glory to God. The scripture says, every good and perfect gift comes from God. Hallelujah. So he will take us sometimes right up to the breaking point. We see the net was breaking and the boats almost sank. Next lesson we want to find out is that the blessings of God are meant to be shared. They're meant to be shared. And I know that's a foreign concept in our society today, when it's all about me, I, and myself. Who are the three greatest people in the world? Me, I, and myself. You see, when they began to stretch the nets and the first boat began to sink, they could have just said, well, stop. Throw the other fish over. No, no, no. You other boat, you come. We got enough. In fact, we got more than enough. In fact, it's becoming a dangerous situation. Hurry up and come. We got to get rid of some of this stuff. We got to get rid of some of this stuff. Yeah, it's not time for the rummage sale yet, but we got to get rid of some of this stuff. Yeah, it is not spring cleaning time yet, but we got too much. We got to get rid of some of this stuff. We got people in need. I got too much fish in my boat. I've smoked some, I've dried some, I've fried some, I've done everything. I still got too much. Bring some other boats. Let's fill them. God blesses us so that when our cup runs over, somebody else's cup begins to fall. When they say your cup run over, it's not wasting on the ground. Amen? God blesses us so we can be a blessing to others. So that through us, others may see his provision and give him glory. Amen. And then when both boats started to sing, they knew they were in trouble. Sometimes God just rarely pours it on us. And the more we give, the more he provides. We know the story in the Old Testament, right? The lady that was just going to use her last, and she and her son were going to die. And he said, just go ask all your neighbors for all the vessels they can find. It doesn't make sense, Lord. Well, no, I don't make sense either. But I'm telling you what to do. Just go bring him. And they were just filling. That's what God does. When we allow him to get into that empty boat and we get in with him as the pilot and allow him to lead and guide and direct us. And we just fall in line and obey him. The blessings begin to follow. And then we in turn can be a blessing for those around us. Amen. They're meant to be shared. Next lesson. The miracles of God. And we see these in verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. It's funny that Jesus performs this wonderful miracle to catch all these fish. And then Peter's response is, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." The account isn't given here in the scripture that Jesus, told them repent and be baptized, or told them you are sinners and God is coming with judgment. No, the miracles of God are meant not only to bless us and solve real problems, but are also meant to inspire awe and reverence for him. They're not only meant to heal and save and provide and all those many, many miracles he does in our lives each and every day. But they're also meant to inspire awe and reverence for him, which is what's happening now. He provides. They toil all night. They've caught nothing. He commands them to go, and all the boats are filled and the boats are sinking. And Peter's response is, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." We can't help but see our state in the light of his magnificence and his provision. So every time God does a miracle, he brings you back to the point that we have to look up to him and give him the glory and the praise that's due his name. Too often we just stop at the point that we're so happy with what he's given us that we're ready to run off and go play like the kids on Christmas Day, and they open their toys and they're gone. That's how we act sometimes as adults. I dare say sometimes we even forget to give him thanks for the wonderful things he does in our lives day by day. He woke us up this morning. That's a miracle if you ask me. Some people went to bed last night and they didn't wake up this morning. Hallelujah. So every morning we wake up and see the bright sunshine. We recognize that it's only by his power. It's only by his might. We don't have to see someone raised from the dead to know that God is great and God is sovereign and God is all powerful and God is only willing to bless us abundantly if we just give him the opportunity to do so. If we just get out of the boat, let him step in, take over, take control, and lead us, direct us, and guide us. So our topic in verse 11 says, well, verse 10, and Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. Yes, you will catch men. You will proclaim the gospel. You will spread my word, and others will come to know me as Lord and Savior. And we, the church today, all of us sitting here who have committed our lives to Jesus Christ, we are some of the men that have been caught. Men and women that have been impacted by someone being faithful and obeying the call of God on their life. And then verse 11, so when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. You see, you can't follow unless you forsake. Too many of us have tried for a long time to follow without forsaking. We came to our leadership summit and we talk about all in. You can't follow unless you forsake. Jesus doesn't want just a piece of us. You see, the devil is satisfied with just a small piece because he knows that Jesus requires 100%. So we can't, let's stop kidding ourselves to think that we can follow him without forsaking anything. We can't have it both ways. It says in Revelation that I wish you were either hot or cold. I don't mind you being cold, but just stay cold. I'd rather you were hot. But what I hate is being lukewarm. I will spew you out of my mouth. See, when you try to follow without forsaking, then you want to stay in that lukewarm territory. You don't want to dip your toe in the edge of the pool. You're too afraid to let go. You don't trust him enough to take charge and do what he wants to do in your life. We got to forsake ourselves. We got to get out of the boat. We got to forsake our flesh and the desires of the flesh. We have to forsake all our agenda and our plans. Because you know what? Our plans are not his plans. So we got to forsake ourselves. And then we have to follow Jesus. We have to follow his way. We have to follow his word. And we have to follow his plans for our life. The worship team, please come up. Are we prepared this morning to forsake and follow? Are we prepared this morning to let go of stuff that we learned from the book of Hebrews this morning, chapter number 12? The weight that we're carrying that hinders us from running the race the way God has called us to. And the sin that so easily entangles us. Those things prevent us from following him the way he wants us to. Because they hold us back. We take one step forward and we take two steps backward. We take one step forward and we take two steps backward. Now you don't need to be a mathematician to know that you're actually going backward. If you take one step forward and two steps backward. Somebody described the Christian walk as being on a treadmill. If you're standing still, you're actually going backward, right? That's not what God wants for us. He's called us. He saved us. Larry talked this morning. He has the title deed. He bought us with a price. And he knows exactly what he's put into each and every one of us. What he wants this morning is for us to take that next step to let go of those things that are holding us from launching into the deep. He's calling us to do great things for him. He's going to equip us. He's going to strengthen us. He's going to see us through. But we have to allow him to do that. Thank you. Indeed, in him the victory is assured. The scripture says the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is alive and resides in you and me if we've trusted him and accepted him as Lord and Savior of our life. I don't know about you, but that excites me. That tells me that I have the Spirit and I have victory on my side. And this morning, we're going to pray shortly. But there's probably more than one person under the sound of my voice this morning who's struggling with something that's holding you back from realizing God's fullness for your life. I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up. I'm not going to do that. But just believe God this morning. Right there in your seat, just believe him this morning. He's still in the miracle working business. And he's going to loose some bondages this morning. He's going to break some chains this morning in Jesus' name. Just believe him where you are. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every other name, the name at the mention of which every knee must bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And Lord, we know that everything that has a name has a knee. So this morning, in the name of Jesus, we break addictions in this place. In Jesus' name. Whatever shape or form they come in, we break them. We break the chains that are holding your people back this morning. We destroy those strongholds that have passed on from generation to generation. We break every generational curse this morning over your people. In the name of Jesus, let everything that is dead within us rise up again this morning by the power that works in us through the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And we proclaim and declare victory for your people this morning. Victory in every area of our lives. In the name of Jesus, every trap, every pitfall that the enemy puts before us, Lord, we destroy this morning, and we pray you will take us through. You will lead us. You will cause a change in our attitude. That, Lord, where we have been hesitant, where we've been doubtful, we will begin to trust you fully. We will begin to rely on your goodness, on your love, on your grace, and on your mercy. And we will begin to declare, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. End of debate, end of story. For I know whom I have believed,
and am persuaded that he is able. He's more than able to see me through. And we just commit each and every person here under you, under your care this morning, Lord. And we thank you for great things that you're going to do in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.